Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America on this hour at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls with us. We have with us today Mr. Philip Berg, Berg, B-E-R-G, who's with the 911 organization, 911forthetruth.com is their website. That's 911forthetruth.com. Mr. Berg, thank you so very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And I understand that you are representing some of the families of the victims and bringing suit against the Saudis. Is that correct?
Well, a little different. I'm representing Ellen Mariani, and there's other people who have contacted us, but directly Ellen Mariani. Her husband, Louis Neil Mariani, was on the second plane, United Flight 175, that crashed into the World Trade Center on 9/11. And I have brought a civil RICO action against George Bush and the administration for foreknowledge, failure to warn, failure to prevent, and cover up since that time.
How are you going to be able to prove that they had foreknowledge? I mean, there's certainly a lot of circumstantial evidence that would suggest that. Do you have what you consider a very, very good and winnable case?
Absolutely. You know, just what we're trying to move forward on are the straight, narrow facts of 9/11, which still have not been answered. There's so many, we feel very good about this because there's been so much research that has been done in the last 2.5 years by professionals, by amateurs. They've written books, they've done paragraphs, they've analyzed films and tapes, and, you know, but nothing is moving this to find out the truth. My client, Ellen Mariani, turned down going to the stabilization fund. She could have used the money. She's a retired, she's living on Social Security. But she is determined to find out the truth. And each day goes by, we're finding out that there's more and more unanswered questions. There's more and more lies about 9/11. And as one of our people that are involved in the project has stated, that Ellen Mariani's case with me has now crossed the 50-yard line, and we're moving down the pike, and we'll cross the goal line, because it's very important that we find out, that we seek and find out the truth about 9/11, because if not, our country's in real danger.
Well, I agree with you. Our country is in real danger. Now, what sort of reception are you getting from the courts? Will the courts bring this sort of a suit against a sitting president? We saw this with, this woman who sued the president for sexual harassment. They were able to get that through the courts while President Clinton was in office. Are you going to be able to get this RICO suit actually heard in the courts?
Well, we believe so. We still have faith in the legal system. Right now, we're doing some procedural things, and hopefully you'll have me back in about 2 weeks when we have some big breaking news on this, how we're going to handle this. Right now, we're just dealing with some procedural issues, but we're pretty sure we know how to get around those issues. But like as you very eloquently stated here, the courts did allow the suit by Paula Jones to proceed, and they allowed the depositions of President Clinton for something that happened while he was not in office. So we're sure that we still have faith in our system. What we're hoping for, and we're very glad to be on your radio show and other shows across this country, we're hoping that the American public gets involved. With the American public, we will push this case forward. You mentioned our website, which is www.911forthetruth.com. It's for F-O-R, forthetruth.com. On there, we have a petition, and we're asking people to go on there and sign the petition that basically states that we support Ellen Mariani's efforts to seek out the truth of 9/11.
Hold that thought right now. We'll be right back in just a moment with Mr. Philip Berg. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And with us this afternoon is Mr. Philip Berg, and he has represented a woman whose husband died in the South Tower, whose husband died in the plane that struck the South Tower, and they have brought suit against President Bush under the RICO statutes for the fact that there was prior knowledge of what happened and nothing was done to prevent it. So this is going to be a very interesting situation. We've had two investigations. We had the first Joint Select Committee investigation, and the congressmen and members of the House of Representatives who were on that commission were under tremendous pressure from the administration to allow them to censor the report. Now, why would they want to censor the report? I mean, the president said, well, Saddam Hussein obviously had things to hide. That's why he wouldn't come clean about the weapons of mass destruction. He was hiding, and he... Well, the same thing might be said for our administration. If there's nothing to hide, why did they insist on censoring the initial report? And of course, the second report now, what the President Clinton, pardon me, President Bush has essentially appointed or passed judgment on almost everybody on that commission. And it should be very obvious if you're following what's going on that they're not there to reveal what's going on, but to conceal it. So, you know, here is an opportunity now with a legal case, because this is the only way you're going to get around the government cover-up. And there really is a government cover-up, isn't there, Mr. Berg?
All right, I'm sorry. Absolutely, there's a cover-up. But, you know, think about it. After 2.5 years, they finally released the presidential daily briefing of August 6, 2001. I mean, what's it going to take? The president and vice president fought the creation of the 9/11 commission. They've stonewalled the commission, and now they're slowly releasing information. This presidential daily briefing speaks for itself. It says Bin Laden was going to plan to attack the United States. They were planning to use planes. They were planning to use explosives. What more could they want to know that something was going to happen on 9/11? Now, they maybe didn't have the exact date, but later on they found out the exact date. On September 10th, 2001, individuals, including Mayor Willie Brown from San Francisco, were advised not to fly on 9/11. John Ashcroft, the Attorney General of the United States, stopped flying commercial aircraft in July of 2001 and only flew military charters after that time. What did they know that they didn't relate to other people, including my client's husband and my client, because my client was flying also on that day. She was fortunate enough to be on a plane that was not hijacked.
Hold that thought right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Mr. Berg is going into the background of the questions that need to be asked, and that is, somebody had notified Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco the evening before the attack on September 11th that he should be advised to be very careful about flying the following day, that John Ashcroft, the Attorney General, had stopped flying on commercial aircraft, and there were so many questions of that suggests that there was foreknowledge. We know, according to articles in the Newsweek magazine, the first issue after the attack and the following week again, that people in the Defense Department who were scheduled to fly on the 11th of September canceled their flights on the 10th of September. Interestingly enough, the editor of Newsweek magazine doesn't want to talk to anybody about that, and says, when you ask him about it, as a friend of mine did, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about conspiracies. If there was a conspiracy, why Congress would have found it? Well, Congress wasn't allowed to investigate a lot of these things at all. But they weren't allowed to get the people from the Defense Department, and Newsweek magazine won't release their names, these people, but they certainly would never put an article in Newsweek without checking it through very, very carefully ahead of time. It's amazing how much information there is out there, Mr. Berg, that points to the fact that certain people knew what was going to happen, but the majority of the people were not notified.
Absolutely, and it's a disgrace that our Congress is at fault, because our Congress should be insisting on the truth of 9/11. The events of 9/11 are frightening, as far as even Ralph Nader has called for the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney based on the lies of the Iraqi war. We had President Clinton was impeached. They spent over $50 million. He was impeached because he lied about whether he had sex. You know, most people, probably 90% of the people in the country, would lie about sex. But here we have the events of 9/11, in which 3,000 people not only died that day, they were murdered that day, and they've extended about $11 to $15 million with a deadline by the 9/11 Commission to investigate this. And with the statement now, the latest is that the 9/11 Commission report, before it's released, will be reviewed in detail by the White House.
Well, the thing that bothers me is they still have not released most of the information. They are still holding back the papers from the Clinton administration. And I just don't understand why they don't want to let this information out. Are they afraid that Osama bin Laden is going to learn what we knew before 9/11, or that al-Zawahiri, his right-hand man, might find out that we were tapping their cell phones? What are they trying to conceal this from? Or who are they trying to conceal it from, Al-Qaeda or from the American people? And I would think that's a question that every American should ask. If there's nothing to conceal, why is the Bush administration concealing it? Now, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I am very disturbed when I see people at the highest levels of government covering up the truth, especially the possibility they're covering up the fact that they knew something was going to happen and did nothing to try to stop it. And after all, when the president knew that there was going to be hijacking our airplanes, and he was told that on the August 6th briefing, all he had to do was simply order that every cockpit door on every plane be locked as soon as the plane was filled before it took off, and that the door not be opened till it got to where it was going to go. You might even think that they might even want to allow, arming of the pilots or a call for marshals on the plane. Actually, what they did is they took all marshals off of domestic flights. They took away the right of any pilot to have a weapon on board the plane in July of that year. And I'm sure you've seen all of these things. So the question is, if they knew there was going to be a hijacking, why would they have done that?
Well, it's obviously, in my opinion, they did it because they needed the events of 9/11 to occur. They, meaning Bush and his cronies in the administration, they needed 9/11 to occur, as a new book just came out, the second Pearl Harbor. They needed an attack on us so they could go into Afghanistan and they could hook up the pipeline again, so they could open up the opium fields again, and then they could go into Iraq, which they had planned all along to declare war for money and oil. And that's what it's all about, and it's a disgrace. During the month of April 2004, over 100 men and women in our military have lost their lives over a meaningless war. And I say that for this reason. Yes, we should support our troops now over there, because if not, we're going to have much more death and dismemberment and destruction. But they should never have gone. Are we better off without Saddam Hussein? Yes. Was he a threat to our nation? No. There are many other countries in this world where harm is coming to their citizens, where people in Africa are being slaughtered every day. We can't go into every country. But it's a disgrace that this administration used the guise of weapons of mass destruction to take us into Iraq. And it all goes back onto 9/11. But for 9/11, we wouldn't have been thinking about Afghanistan or Iraq. And the facts are there. If I can, let me just listen to this. We knew that planes might be used. If everyone look at the basic facts. Do you remember Payne Stewart? I'm sure you do, and your listeners. Payne Stewart, the golfer, in 1999. His plane went off course while flying from Florida to Texas. When it was off course for 3.5 minutes, FAA and NORAD were advised within 8.5 minutes, within 5 minutes from there, within 8.5 minutes after he was off the ground, two military jets, one on each side of the plane, were alongside that plane, and they guided it throughout the upper United States. They found out that the people were unconscious, and they discussed the possibility that if that plane was going to crash into a populated area, they would shoot it down. They did not have to deal with that particular issue. However, what happened on 9/11? We knew planes might be used. Planes were missing, and planes weren't scrambled. Why not? Now, we can even give up the first plane. We shouldn't, but just for argument's sake, let's say we never really expected that a plane would go into any building, including the World Trade Center. But at 8:46 a.m., when that first plane crashed into the World Trade Center, now even though we now know from a stewardess who was on a telephone for 26 minutes from 8:20 a.m. to 8:46 a.m., that a steward and a stewardess on her flight had already been stabbed by knives, that the cockpit was under the control of the hijackers, and the plane was hijacked. We knew that but the plane then was heading towards New York City. But let's assume for a minute we didn't know it would really crash into the World Trade Center. My client's husband, Louis Neil Mariani, was on the second plane that did not crash into the South Tower of the World Trade Center until 17 minutes after the first plane hit. I submit to you and everyone that's listening that if jets had been scrambled at that time, even though they should have been scrambled 20 minutes earlier, that there's no way that second plane would have ever hit the second World Trade Center tower. He wouldn't be alive today, Neil Mariani, but that plane would have ended up in the Hudson River or someplace else. It should never have been allowed in the New York airspace or anyone near the World Trade Center.
Were you aware of the fact that Dick Cheney was monitoring the third plane coming in? Have you ever heard Norman Mineta's testimony on the 23rd of May of last year where we talked about being down in the Presidential Emergency Operating Center there beneath the White House as the aide rushes into the room and says to Dick Cheney, the plane is 50 miles out. That's the plane, of course, that's coming in at the Pentagon. Comes in a couple of minutes later and says, the plane is 30 miles out. Comes in a couple of minutes later and says the plane is 10 miles out, to the orders still stand. And according to Norman Mineta's testimony, totally suppressed by the media, but we have it, of course, the vice president whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
And then did he say again? Give me the exact words again. I'm sorry.
That were the exact words of Norman Mineta.
He said what?
What Cheney said is, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? And then Norman Mineta said, I didn't understand what all that meant. And then somebody asked him what the orders were, and then immediately they changed the subject because they were monitoring the plane that came in. They were watching it as it came in, and they did nothing to stop it. And there were orders, and nobody's ever inquired what those orders were.
Now, is that unbelievable? How could that plane ever get into the airspace of Washington, D.C.? You know, there's all kinds of radar equipment. There's anti-aircraft missiles. And here, at that time, two planes had already hit the World Trade Center.
Well, tell me,
so where did they think that plane was going?
Well, the thing is, were there anti-aircraft batteries on the Pentagon? Nobody wants to talk about that. I'm sure you must have looked into this.
Sure.
Were there anti-aircraft batteries on the Pentagon?
Hold one second.
Well, that is a question that many, many people have asked, and I think it's an important thing.
I'm not sure where they are, but they're there. You can't tell me they're not all around Washington, D.C.
But, of course, they were not used that morning.
I know, but why not? That's the thing that bothers me and should bother your listeners. Oh. How come these questions aren't being asked by the 9/11 Commission? Because they don't want the answers. Well, if I don't ask you, sir, what color shirt you're wearing, you'll never tell me. You know, no, and that's what it comes down to. My favorite line lately is, and it sounds a little funny, but anyone ever listened or watched the TV show CSI? Well, if they had watched the show, if we had brought in the crew from CSI, we would have had a better investigation of the events of 9/11 than have occurred by our federal government.
Well, it's so interesting. People ask what happened to the planes that morning. Well, actually, it's all in the testimony. I've read it. And they sent the planes, I think it was from Langley Air Force Base, out over the Atlantic. And then they had them come back in again, but they wouldn't allow them to fly full speed. Now, why, after two planes have crashed and they know that the plane is coming to Washington, D.C., why wouldn't they allow them to fly at full speed? And I think the answer, I'm sure you would have a suggestion that maybe they didn't want to stop that plane.
They didn't want it to happen. But I can't understand that the plane in Western Pennsylvania, in my mind and many other people, when I raise a certain way about it, that plane was shot down. And I'll tell you why. On my desk here, I have a computer I'm looking at. And next to my computer, I have a TV set. And I always am glued to the TV, always for breaking news. And that day, after the first plane hit the second plane, I was watching. And later that day, there was a live television broadcast from 5 miles from the crash site in Western Pennsylvania. And a reporter was standing there and saying, look at the debris from that crash plane. Look at the suitcases here. Look at the clothes here. Look at the articles from that plane. Well, I submit to you that something that crashes, nothing bounces 5 miles.
That's right. We'll be back in just a few moments with Mr. Philip Berg, a fascinating subject that every American should be concerned about.
most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we think that they really are great. Now, we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that an awful lot of people use them, and they tell us that they do wonderful things for them. And there's a gel, and people use it for itchy skin or for aches and pains or sore knees. They use it for certainly, I put it on my hair. My wife uses it for all sorts of things. And all we can do is suggest you try the gel and see if it'll help you. There's a lotion. There's a moisturizing soap, a regular soap. Call 1-800-544-8927 for Miracle 2 products. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Philip Berg, and he is the lawyer who's representing a woman who is suing the president under the RICO statutes because there is evidence, there's a great deal to suggest that people within our government knew there was going to be an attack that fateful Tuesday morning, and nothing was done to stop it. It isn't suggesting that they had anything to do with the terrorists, but they knew the terrorists were here in the United States. We've been told, oh, we just had no idea that terrorists were here. We couldn't infiltrate the terrorist cells. Let me tell you, the FBI was able to infiltrate and destroy the Communist Party, a secret conspiratorial organization in the United States. They were able to infiltrate and destroy effectively the mafia, and all the mafia dons are in prison today. They were able to infiltrate the American militia movement and the Christian identity movement and the Aryan Nation movement and destroy effectively all of these movements, but you tell me that they just couldn't possibly infiltrate the terrorist movement? Of course it infiltrated the terrorist movement. If you read that presidential daily briefing, they will tell you the FBI were monitoring 70 different Al-Qaeda cases here in the United States. And immediately after 9/11, they arrested 1,200 Muslims. Many of them are still imprisoned because they're terrorists. They knew who the terrorists were, but they won't release their names because they don't want Osama bin Laden to know who we're holding. They won't try them because they don't want Osama bin Laden to learn what would be brought out at a trial. And if you believe these things, why, you are incredibly naive. I hope the American people will stop and think, Mr. Berg, have you thought about, I'm sure you've looked into all of these various things.
Oh, absolutely. I think the hardest thing is for the American public. The American public doesn't want to accept the fact that our government would be involved in something as horrible as this, as deadly as this. And to bring to their attention, and I know you know, but I don't want to bore you, but for your listeners there, we only have to look back in history. We now hear that President Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor 2 weeks before Pearl Harbor, but he wanted us to get into the war, the Second World War. And as we look back in history, it's good the United States was involved in World War II. It's a shame we had to lose all the men and women and the ships and planes that we did at Pearl Harbor. On the other hand, it's so far back, people don't want to admit to that. But I think what is more identifiable with our listeners is the fact that 1962, most people don't know about it, but they know about President John F. Kennedy. In 1962, Operation Northwood, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military in our government had planned to destroy American property, to injure and kill American citizens and blame it on Cuba, to go to war with Cuba. And President John F. Kennedy stopped it. We're very thankful for that. Unless you buy the signal bullet theory, which I don't, that was probably one of the reasons that led to his assassination. But if you would take the words Cuba and switch them for Iraq, you have the same situation going on. Our government needed it because, you know, at time of war, it's supposedly good for the economy. This, unfortunately, has backfired on them. This looks like it's the beginning of another Vietnam War, and I hope not. But we have to support our troops that are there now, but they should never have been there. But they did it for the big boys to make money on oil, and it's a real disgrace.
Well, I would like anybody who, of course, questions what Mr. Berg has said, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for my March newsletter, because you'll be amazed to find out what they were talking about at the secret cabinet meetings held at the White House in January and February of the year 2001, 8 to 9 months before the attack. Fascinating to know what was going on, what they were talking about. Were they talking about terrorism, and were they talking about weapons of mass destruction? You'll be surprised to find what they were talking about, and it was a prelude to this war with Iraq. They were actually talking about how we would justify a war with Iraq, and you'll be, we'll send you free of charge a copy of my newsletter. You need to get it. You need to copy it. You need to get it out across America.
Well, Mr. Doctor, yes. how could you know this information when people like Condoleezza Rice don't know it, and people like the government don't know it? And I'm being facetious here. You know it, and many other people know it. And Condoleezza Rice, when she testified, it just showed what kind of liar she really is, because, all of a sudden, now I know about this, now I know that bin Laden was going to attack the United States. Her earlier statements were she never knew that a plane could be used, was thought to be used against buildings in the United States. They always thought it was going to be something outside the United States. And people should be held accountable. I mean, people were murdered on that day. It goes up to high crimes. It goes up to treason. And it's really a disgrace. And the scary and frightening thing is, and my challenge is, I hope your listeners go onto our website to sign our petition, www.911forthetruth.com, because we're up to about 9,700 signatures now, close to 9,800. I want to get over 10,000 tonight. Your listeners could do that. But I want 100,000. I'd like 1 million signatures on there, that people want to find out the truth of 9/11, because I'm sure the government is monitoring our petition to see what's going on. And what's frightening is that this administration has done more to take away individual rights in the past 200 years than any other administration in this country.
All right, just hold on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Mr. Berg, and think about getting and signing that petition.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just wanted to mention that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, and if you would like a wonderful water filter, and the Big Berkey has been platter and has been used for 150 years, you put the water in the top and comes out the bottom. It goes through ceramic filters. It'll filter about 25 gallons of water a day, and most people aren't going to drink anywhere near that much, and it takes out the pesticides and herbicides and the bacteria and cryptosporidium. It does a great job of cleaning up your water, taking out the chlorine taste. Now, the Big Berkey is $279. It's got four ceramic filters in it, and you can clean these over and over again. You can boil them, and they'll last for a very long time. Now, Big Berkey is available in every state except for California and Iowa. However, the Berkey Light is available here in the state of California. Of course, these are portable water filters. You can take them with you when you go camping. You keep them in your homes. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water level, and I like that. It has two filters, what we call black Berkey filters. They work much more efficiently than the traditional filters, the problem is they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. The other Big Berkey filters will last a great deal longer. Now, the Berkey Light is $199, with both of them $10 shipping. But with both of them, if you buy them from us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video we've produced free of charge. So if you'd like to see what they look like, go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, I hope that you will give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and buy a Big Berkey. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Philip Berg, and we have calling in from Watsonville, Tim. Tim is very skeptical about what we've said. Tim, do you have a question or comment? Tim, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Tim.
Thank you for taking the call. The first one would be, what could they have done first? I mean, they can't arrest. I mean, you know, you call the police on a person who threatens you, and they say, well, he hasn't really committed a crime. Call us when he's, you know, done something to you.
All right, fine.
They couldn't have done anything to the Muslim terrorist before they did something.
All right, that's a very good point. Let's take one point at a time.
Oh, okay.
Let Mr. Berg answer that, and then I'll give you my thoughts on it. Mr. Berg, Tim says, look, you can't arrest these people. They haven't committed a crime. You can't commit them till they have committed a crime. How would you respond to that?
Well, correct, Tim, but as the doctor said, they, you know, once they had forewarning, number one, they could have taken steps to put air marshals on these planes or lock the cockpit doors or done better screening here. But even if we couldn't do that, we should have had our guard up. We should have been listening. And the minute a plane was off course, we should have taken steps to make sure that nothing happened. And let's assume that we didn't, like I said before, think that first plane would hit. Once that first plane would hit, there's no excuse have the second plane hit the World Trade Center and the plane hit the Pentagon. Those planes should have been, like the plane in Western Pennsylvania, shot down. And you would not have a loss of life of 3,000 people. Well, you know, it's very funny. We had no idea who these hijackers were, but yet then what happened? Within several hours after it, that afternoon, they had the photographs and names of the 19 supposedly hijackers on radio and on television and in our newspapers. You know, how do you have that a few hours after and you didn't have it before?
And point, I think, Tim, is the fact that you ask what you would do. Well, you would try to protect the airplanes in this country. First of all, it was in July of 2001, just about 2 months beforehand, they put out a directive that no one, no pilot could carry a weapon. A few of them were allowed to carry weapons before that, and they took all the marshals off the domestic flights. The suggestion had been for many years that you would reinforce the cabinet doors. At least you would order them to be locked at all times. That was the one thing that you could do. If you knew that somebody's going to hijack a plane, wouldn't it be logical that you'd put out a directive that you'd keep the cockpit door locked at all times, and you would not let the hostesses have a key to get in? That would be the first thing. The second thing would be you'd arm the pilots, you'd allow them to be armed. In fact, to this very day, the administration's doing everything they can to block arming the pilots. Thirdly, you would have marshals on those planes, and if you couldn't get them on immediately, you'd mobilize the National Guard. If you know we're going to be attacked, you could put National Guardsmen on those planes. You would do everything you could to protect the pilot, the American people. Wouldn't you think that would be logical, Tim?
Well, like I said, I'm skeptical that what you're saying is the truth.
All right. Now, wait a minute. Now, why are you skeptical? Wouldn't it be logical to lock the cockpit doors, arm the pilots, and have marshals on the planes?
Well, I'm sure they have thousands of terrorist threats daily about airplanes. I mean, I'm terrified to fly, you know, cross country 2 weeks ago because I'm afraid of some nut on there. But, I mean, they now look what's happening. We got to take off our shoes and do all these horrible things. I mean, if they just implemented that without any kind of you know, jurisdiction, the ACLU would have been up in arms. Now, the second thing was shooting down that second plane. I mean, you have a lawyer suing the president because the plane slammed into the tower. He would have sued him if they shot it down. I mean, it's a catch-22 for this administration.
In other words,
if they do something prior, they'd be nailed to the wall. And now that they've done something or not done something, they're nailed to the wall. I mean, they just can't win.
Tim, it's not nailed to the wall. I mean, let's just look at facts, and that's what we're doing. What did the president do that day? When the president was notified that the second plane hit the World Trade Center, did he take command? No. He continued to sit in the classroom, and there's a difference of opinion I've got to get to the bottom. He either read a goat story or listened to a goat story for the next 18 minutes. He really took command. I mean, he jeopardized every student in that classroom unless they were involved with something going on, because everyone knew the president was in that classroom in Florida, and that could have been a target. The president didn't take command. His administration didn't take command. Rumsfeld was still sitting in his office at the Pentagon rather than a command center when the plane slammed into the other side of the Pentagon.
Well, it makes
how,
it sound
how
like
did
they
that
didn't
plane
know what's
get
on.
Into the airspace of Washington, D.C., when they kept saying it's 50 miles out, 30 miles out? Two planes had already hit the World Trade Center. I mean, give me a break. On basic, we're under attack, you have to do something.
All right,
when the first plane hit, you have to take steps, and the people would have gotten behind the president. You would not have had the death and destruction that you had because this administration sat on their hands and didn't do anything.
And I think Tim, you have to realize that the president then did give an order that if there was a plane that was going to crash into a heavily populated area, that plane was to be shot down. But he gave the order apparently after the fact. Now, is there anything else you'd like to bring up?
No, I just wanted to call and tell you that. I mean, my heart is broken for the person that died in the plane and in the trade tower.
But I don't
think this administration are demonic, you know, murderers who set all this up, is what it makes it sound like you're saying.
No, I think that
we're all victims here.
But the thing is, if they knew ahead of time and did nothing, would that be conscionable?
Well, like I said, I don't think, yes, I agree with you, but I don't think they could do anything because they would have the ACLU and every Democrat waiting to stomp their guts out if they panicked the country.
Would the ACLU have been unhappy if they had ordered that the cockpit doors be locked and that the stewardess not have a key so that nobody could get into the cockpit? Do you think that the ACLU would have yelled about that?
I think liberals, yes, I definitely.
I see. Do you think the ACLU would have yelled if they had said, to every pilot, look, they may hijack your plane. You can carry and you can have a gun on board that plane to protect the cockpit?
I thought they're not trained to carry guns. That's the whole thing.
Oh, yes, they were. Most of these people came from the military, and they certainly could have. The government, even to this day, is doing everything they can to block the pilots. In fact, less than 2% of the pilots now have been trained to do this. They have made the training so difficult, most of the pilots won't do it. And what they have said is you have to have the gun in a lockbox at all time until you are in the cockpit with the door locked, and only then can you take the gun out to protect yourself. No, they're doing everything they can today to block what's doing logical to protect America. For instance, they're keeping the border open. They're not trying to stop people coming across the border. They have not put anything onto our planes to deflect the Stinger missiles, or if there were shoulder air missiles fired at them. El Al planes, Jewish planes, they all have protection. Our planes have none. And you have to ask yourself, why is that?
They have a sensible country that can work together. What? Our country is split 44% against 44%, with us in the middle deciding it is the lesser of two evils. You go with the Democrats, who are insane. You go with the Republicans, who are apathetic. And well, it's like, where do you win in this country?
Will you just keep listening to our program? And thanks so
yes,
much
I
for
will.
Calling.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. And that's fine. And so that was Tim calling from Watsonville. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. Our guest today is Mr. Philip Berg. And his website is www.911forthetruth. That's 911forthetruth.com. And he's asking people to go to his website and sign his petition. And what does the petition say, Mr. Berg?
The petition basically says, I support Ellen Mariani's effort to find out the truth about 9/11.
Well, I think that's pretty straightforward. I think everybody would like to find out the truth. And she passed up the opportunity to get $750,000 or $1 million. Just because she wants to find out what happened that morning?
Yes, she did.
And I really respect her for having the courage to do that. Because the thing is, what they were really doing is buying off all the families. Now, they didn't offer any money to the families of the people who were died in the Oklahoma City bombing. And so why shouldn't those people be subject to getting a payment? No, they did not want anybody to do what your client has done. Well, let's go to Savannah. Is this Savannah?
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from UC Berkeley.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Actually, I have a comment.
Okay.
I agree with a lot of stuff that's being said. I believe that the government should have said a lot of things that they didn't say. But, I think the government did as much as they could do. And I don't think they should be blamed for anything.
You don't think the government should be blamed for anything?
No, because who could have, even if they did have some warnings of what was going to happen, what could they have possibly done to stop it? I mean, if they said something, the whole country would go haywire.
All right. So you think that they should not have tried to stop the attack that morning then?
I believe they should have, but I don't believe that they should have gave a nationwide warning like weeks or days before.
Well, they're doing it all the time now, and they tell, oh, we've gone up to orange, you know what that means. And they're trying to scare us to death all the time. You go up on the internet, you'll see day after day after day the fact that there is there's a new terrorist threat, or there's going to be a terrorist threat, or it's only a matter of time. They're doing everything they can to scare us to death. And you know, the most amazing thing is there hasn't been one major terrorist attack in America in over almost 2.5 years. Why is that?
Well, it's because people don't believe it anymore. At a point, they didn't say anything at all. And then now it's to a point where they're saying things. I don't even think it's the government. I think it's just random groups going on the internet and saying random things. The country doesn't believe it anymore because all they hear about is terrorists, this, terrorists, that. Why should anyone believe it anymore?
All right, so...
But Savannah, if I can, this is Phil Berg here. I understand what you say, but the thing is, if we hear that a bank robbery is in progress, the police and the FBI come on the scene. If there are people who are there, they do whatever they can to prevent additional loss of life and to take control of the situation. If we hear a terrorist is out there shooting up people on a campus or some city, they do everything they can. Here they had forewarning that something was going to happen. Once that first plane hit, I give the first plane up, which we shouldn't. Once they knew at 8:20 a.m. that a plane was hijacked and people were being stabbed and a plane was off course flying towards New York City, you don't think military jets should have been scrambled?
If they knew the exact plane, if they knew the person that, the exact plane that was going and getting hit, yes, I believe they should have done something.
Well, they knew. See, the basic facts, this is what bothers me. What bothers me is that the basic facts are not being discussed by Congress, by the 9/11 Commission, by the people in the administration. They knew that that plane was off course. They knew the plane was off course, and they knew people were being stabbed on that plane, and they knew the plane was going off course towards New York City. So shouldn't they have taken steps? Now, if you want to say they never really expected it to hit the World Trade Center, when it did hit at 8:46 a.m., 17 minutes later it took for the first plane, for the second plane to hit the World Trade Center. Think about it. Don't you think we should have been attempting to stop that second plane from coming into New York City or the plane coming into the Pentagon? It turned around in Ohio. They watched it come back towards Washington, D.C. Did they think it was coming back for sightseeing?
I do agree. They should have done something. But put yourself on the other side. And what if the government did tear down that plane? What if it would have never hit the tower?
But Savannah, if you would get to the bottom facts, the facts are, and I show you, if they're proven, if you can look at all the details, the plane that was shot, the plane that went down in western Pennsylvania.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take away from they say all the people went and took control, and that's why the plane crashed. Everyone who was died that day, everyone that was murdered that day was a hero. But that plane in western Pennsylvania was shot down by our government. And there's no, people aren't even clamoring for the issue. That was shot down. Now, why, if that was shot down, why wasn't the plane that ended up hitting the Pentagon shot down? And why wasn't the second plane that hit the World Trade Center, why wasn't that shot down? And I'll tell you why. Because they needed a massive attack on our government so that they could go to war with Iraq for money and oil.
All right.
That's
well,
the questions that have to be asked.
Okay, Savannah, the one question I would ask is, if the second plane was coming back and it was coming towards New York and there was any question if it was going to hit the South Tower, why were the people in the South Tower ordered not to evacuate? Why were they told to stay at their desk, not to leave? And they could look out the window, they could see the flames from the North Tower, they could see the people jumping out the windows, and they were told to stay at their seats. And everyone who did what they were told to, most of them died. And the up on the top floor at Morgan Stanley, the man in charge there said that we're under a terrorist attack. He got 1,700 people from the top floor out, and the rest of the people were left there to die. That is unconscionable. Thanks so much. Let's go to Marilyn in Sacramento. Marilyn, are you there?
I certainly am.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a couple of comments. First is, these callers who are making excuses should get your newsletters and should read them. You should give that a phone number or that address for them to subscribe to it. It explains it. Everything's documented. There's far too much to go into at this point. But my issue has been that they should have been profiling the passengers all along. If they knew this, there should have been profiling. You know, I've been in travel for a long time, and I've been to all of many countries in the world, and you carry a passport with you, and your passport number is put in to a computer, and you are profiled at that time, and then your passport will be looked through. Many years ago, I went to Morocco, and only for 1 week, just as a tourist, and for every time I went, particularly through France or Paris, I was pulled aside and I was questioned about why I had been to Morocco. Now, this has been 10 years or more since I had that Moroccan stamp on my passport. Now, that was just one Middle Eastern country. I've been to many since then, but I have not been questioned in that way. But these people could have been, it's ridiculous to subject all of the passengers to this silliness of taking their shoes off.
Well, I'll tell you what, this whole thing is playing a psychological game with us. It's all because of John Reed, the mad shoe bomber, a man who will spend the rest of his life in jail because they lied to him. Somebody within the terrorist movement told him they were going to put C4 in his shoes, he could light the fuses and set it off. He got on the plane, he was willing to kill himself, he tried to light the fuse, and he didn't know you can't set off C4 with fuses, you have to have blasting caps. He was set up. I have no sympathy for him. I think he was a dangerous man, and he deserves to be in jail, but you cannot set off C4 with a fuse. And the terrorist knew that. He was set up. Obviously, somebody had set him up, and he will spend the rest of his life because of it. Hey, we're out of time, Marilyn. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement.
Well, thank you for having me.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. We'll be back here in just a minute here to wrap up this program. And I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Mr. Berg. We're out of time. But again, the website is www.911forthetruth. Will you come on to some of our other programs with us?
Absolutely.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. That was Mr. Philip Berg, and he's a very, very courageous man. He's suing the President of the United States to try to get the truth out about whether there was foreknowledge or not. And if there's nothing to hide, let's bring it all out. And the President didn't know. Let's get it the truth. But the truth needs to be known.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention that we do carry Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a wonderful game. It's just like Monopoly in many respects, except that you learn something from it. It's not one game. It's 5 board games and 2 bonus games. It's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And so we hope that many of you out there will actually get a Phenopoly set, and that you will get it for your children, that you'll play it with them. And in about 16 hours, you can actually change their lives, because so many of our children do not know phonics. Phonics is the basic means by which you teach reading, and they've deliberately dumbed down our children. This program is $139.95. Most programs, $300, $400, $500. This is $139.95. Call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Phenopoly. And then we want to mention we have a 4-tape set on Vietnam. It's very hard to understand what's going on today unless you know what happened in Vietnam and why we went to Vietnam. For entirely different reasons than the boys who went over there to die realized. So we have a 4-tape set on Vietnam. We have a 4-tape set on the men we left behind. We abandoned thousands of boys, not only in Vietnam, but people who are working for the CIA and Laos, and none of them have ever come home. And then, of course, we have a set on One Man Returned, the story of Bobby Garwood. We have a Vietnam special. You can get all these, and the report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee going to the fact that we abandoned between 20 and 25,000 boys. We left them to die in Siberia after the Second World War, because you see, there are evil people in government. They were there then, they're still there today. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and the basic theme of our whole ministry is the fact that there is evil in the world, and there are evil and wicked people. America had two forces in it. One was a Christian influence for good, and the other was an evil influence for bad. And, of course, tragically, although the American influence for good was here for 150 years, eventually the evil people took over control of our government, and they worked through secret societies like Skull and Bones and the Masons, the Rosicrucians. The hierarchy of the Council on Foreign Relations has a secret agenda and is a front organization for the secret society Cecil Rhodes created over 100 years ago, back in 1891. It's all documented in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and we have so many other books. We have so many of the original writings of the people who were in the secret society. One of them was thrown out of the society, fortunately, so he felt free to write about it. His name was William Stead, and we have his diary, and we have articles he wrote talking about the secret society that existed at that time. So we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out across America with the information you're not going to get elsewhere. So if you'd like to, of course, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Marilyn commented that people ought to read our newsletter. Well, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you will want to actually subscribe to the newsletter, but you can always pull it down off the internet a week or two after we've written it. We post it up there because there's certain people who can't afford that. We want you to have access to it, and we want you to copy the newsletter, and we want you to get in other people's hands. We want you to tell people about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day and not get anything done. Listen to the archive programs on at radioliberty.com, and then help us reach people, because we don't have the funds for massive mailings, and we're not going to get be heard on CBS or ABC or NBC. We have to buy time on radio stations all across America, but we have almost 50 stations or outlets that carry our program every week, and what a privilege it is to be able to bring people the truth that they're not going to get elsewhere. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters and join us in this epic struggle in which we're engaged, well, I would love to hear from you. We hope many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the video, the audio tape for $29.95. And, the book is in about its 8th or 9th printing, and you're not going to see it up on, on the New York Times bestseller list, but you'll find it up on Amazon, and most of the major distributors will carry it. You can order it through your bookstore, but most bookstores, most of them just don't carry this sort of thing because it goes into secret societies. And the fact that they have emblems, they have secret emblems, and which they hide in plain sight, and you see them every day, and you don't recognize them because you're not supposed to. But an understanding of the events that have shaped the 20th century is predicated not on facts to be learned, but upon secrets to be discovered, because there already are secrets out there. In fact, the World Future Society used to have an emblem. It was called it was a logo. It was 3 sixes. And when we began talking about that, of why they changed it, who was out there? Why, Marie Strong, a man named Robert McNamara. Remember, he sent our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but he'd never allow them to win. He sent them back year after year after year in a war he knew they could never win because he wouldn't let them. And then, of course, there's Barbara Marx Hubbard, who's talked about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population. And as she said in her original book, that's not your job, my dear, that is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. Oh, that's what 666 is all about, and that's what this conspiracy is about. It's a spiritual conspiracy for the souls of men. Pray for America, pray for revival, but please remember to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.